Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living Your Life by Design, a conversation of self, health, and wealth. And now, your host, certified career consultant, life coach, and author, Kathy Holloway Hill.
Good evening, listeners. You have Kathy Holloway Hill here with you.
Oh, and I'm Tony Lamont.
And you also have my outstanding co-host, Mr. Tony Lamont. Now, Mr. Tony Lamont has been away for a while, so you have to excuse him because he's just getting back into the fresh mode of being my co-host. So welcome, Tony.
Thank you very much. It's good to be back. And, yeah, you're right. My timing is a little off. I have to remember to say
Tony,
I'm Tony Lamont.
Your timing is never off. Your timing is never off.
Okay. So, yeah. So I'm back. I'm back. Everything's good.
That's fantastic. And we are so happy to have you back. I've received a lot of email notes asking when you would be back. So you're back. I am so excited to be here this evening, Tony. The weather on this side of the country is absolutely beautiful. I love this time of year when it changes from winter to spring. It is so pretty. So very
It's pretty nice here, too. I think our high today was a very surprising close to record number, about 77 degrees, somewhere around there. So,
77?
Close to 77 degrees, yeah.
Wow, you're in Indiana. I'm in southern Indiana. You're in Indianapolis, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think it got up to probably 70 here. Actually, I'm not really sure. I just know it's very warm. But it's also the time of year when you don't have to turn on heat or air, which is very nice.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, very nice. Okay, well, we have a great show on tap this evening. As you listeners may or may not know, this is our Financial Fitness Month. And we are coming at the topic of financial fitness from an emotional perspective because we know everything in your life, whether it's finances, relationships, or career, job, whatever, everything is controlled by your emotions. So we are having a great time thus far. Last week we had Mark Delaney on, and I just wanted to make a couple of quick announcements. The one announcement I want to make is about Mr. Mark Delaney. He announced his website, Champions University. And there is, I went to the website, Tony. It's absolutely fantastic. And there are special things there just for my listeners. So I want you guys to take advantage of that. Champions University. It's ChampionsYouniversity.com. There are free resources, and it's a lot of great information. So if you want help getting your finances straightened out, the help is there. It's out there, and there are a lot of free resources, and there are a lot of free resources there on that website. So I encourage you to take a look at that, okay? And I also want to just let you guys know that, as you're aware, here on the Living by Design show, we love our listeners, and we always do listener appreciation shows. And we have a couple of those coming up because we haven't done one in a while, so in the past, we've had some really great guests. We had Mr. Eric Braden from The Young and the Restless. If you're a Young and Restless fan, you know him as Victor Newman. We had him. We had Mr. Howard Hewitt, and he ended up singing when he was on our listener appreciation show. And we've also had Ms. Kimberla Lawson Roby, who is a fantastic fiction writer. So we've had some really great people on our listener appreciation shows, and we have one coming up that you absolutely will not want to miss. Ladies, it is for you, and I'm not going to tell you who the guest is because it's a surprise, but I can tell you this. You will be very pleased, very, very pleased. So stay tuned for that. So I will be talking more about that in the upcoming months. Next month, our theme is going to be self-motivation. So get ready for that because we need to get motivated. There are so many people that have goals and things you want to do and you want to change your life and you want things to be better, but you just can't get yourself motivated. Well, we're going to have just the medicine and the remedy for you. So that's next month's theme, the month of April. Now, Mr. Tony Lamont, are
yes.
you ready for tonight's show?
Yes, I am.
I have a fantastic guest by the name of Tawana Freeman. Now, Tawana, if I'm mispronouncing your name, please tell me when you come on the line. But Tawana Freeman actually has quite a bit in common with me because she was also in corporate America, had a fantastic career, and she ended up turning her situation around, came out of corporate America, and is a very, very successful entrepreneur, management consultant, professional speaker, author. Her bio is very extensive, and I am not going to leave anything out. So I am going to bring our guest on the line. Tawana, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I am actually doing absolutely wonderful this day. Hi, Tony. How are you?
I'm fine. Tawana, how are you?
I'm awesome. Thank you. Yeah, the weather and where I am actually is quite beautiful, too. So I must say, add my little two cents in there about beautiful weather. So
yeah.
We're doing wonderful.
Now, where are you, Tawana?
I'm in Hawaii.
My goodness, your weather's always great.
Yeah, no complaints. But we're in the rainy season, so it is a little bit chilly. But the rain kind of tapers off by 12 o'clock. But it's still very, very nice. So if I can send some sunshine to you guys, I sure would bottle it up and package it and sell it all the time.
I know that's right. Now, is that where you live, or is that just where you are now?
No, I reside in Hawaii. I'm originally from Virginia, and we took a 2-year assignment to come to Hawaii, and we are actually about to transition back to the D.C. area this summer. So I have to say goodbye to all the beautiful rainbows and the wonderful people here on the islands of Hawaii and get on back to the hustle and bustle of the East Coast.
Well, you know, I have to say, though, Tawana, even though you may have to come back to the East Coast, just to have experienced that, because I've been to Hawaii, and it's an experience that I would, if you can make it there, whoever can get to Hawaii, if you can financially afford it, I would recommend it. It mm-hmm. is absolutely heavenly. It's just like a piece of heaven. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. It is absolutely beautiful, and I think the thing that makes it even more beautiful is just the aloha spirit that's here. I mean, truly, people talk about Hawaii and the you know, the very laid-back island mentality, but it's a little bit more than that. One thing about Hawaii is that not only do you have the beautiful scenery, the people of Hawaii are absolutely wonderful. People are so friendly. They're so easygoing. I mean, that you can't even honk your horns in Hawaii without causing, you know, people stress. It's just a do not do anything stressful. Do not do anything that's going to, you know, cause people to kind of get wound up too fast. I mean, it's a very holistic approach to living, and I've absolutely
yes.
enjoyed every bit of my stay.
That's great. That is fantastic. I mean, you mentioned a holistic approach. And I am totally into the holistic anything.
Right.
To have the health and wellness and the peace of mind. And, I mean, that is just so very necessary for life. But I want to get to you, and I want to talk some about your bio because it's very extensive. And I want you to tell our listeners a little bit about your background. And I know you left corporate America. And just talk a little bit about you and what you do.
Well, my 20-year career, it's actually pretty interesting. I started out working in the federal government and eventually transitioning away from federal government work as a project manager in the areas of science and technology and transitioning into corporate America, still staying within project management background. And when I went to corporate America, I fell in love with the life of being able to climb the corporate ladder, to hit every level of management, being able to spread my wings and really contribute to the life of the people that are that work for me and that kind of thing, and just a lot of professional development. And I spent most of my career doing technology, dealing with science and technology in the area of information technology and network management, computer network management. And so my background is in infrastructure, and that we would, you know, I worked for Verizon, and I worked on the side of Verizon where we managed the business-to-business transition of networks. And so, you know, new constructions of buildings or transferring from one carrier to another. So at the highlight of my career, I managed a workforce of over 180 people, and it was probably the best time. It was absolutely fantastic. I enjoyed every bit of it. However, it got to a point where I realized I couldn't be managed anymore. And when I say that, I say it in the context that when you have, and not necessarily perfected, but when you have gotten to a place in your career where you have journeyed so far that you can now look at other managers and see other things in other managers, whether it's your senior managers or your peers, that you feel that, you know what, there's nothing that they can add or contribute to my professional career anymore. They can't do anything else for me. The only next opportunity for me would be to be a vice president, and the demands that come with the life of a vice president. And I really just did not feel that they could contribute to my life anymore. But I felt that they could take away from my life, my personal life, you know, my time with my family, traveling, and, you know, the increased stress. And so when I got to that place of saying, okay, I can't be managed anymore, I can't allow this environment to kind of take over my life, I decided that it was time to transition away.
Wow. You know, I have to say this. Now, this is not totally related to the show, but I'm just so amazed. What you said about your career and what you did, if we had lived in the same city, our paths would have crossed, because mm-hmm. I was in the exact same industry, and my area of responsibility, I started with IBM, and then I ended my corporate life with mm-hmm. Brown-Forman Corporation, who is the makers of Jack Daniels and other spirits and wines. But I was responsible for a multimillion-dollar infrastructure, and part of my responsibility was negotiating contracts mm-hmm. with carriers, such as Verizon, for T1s, T3s, fiber rings, et cetera, because I was responsible for the entire infrastructure of mm-hmm. all the entire company. It's a global company. Mm-hmm. And I know our paths probably would have crossed, because if you work for Verizon, that's mm-hmm. what I would do. I would mm-hmm. put out contracted bids for, you know, the infrastructure design. And that is just amazing how we have that in common.
Right. No, it is a small world, and it's interesting because, you know, and having a technology background kind of gives you a natural transition to problem solving. So when we talk about our, you know, our paralleled careers, problem solving is what we do best. And
absolutely.
And if you've had a successful career in this field, then you know that the next best thing is to help people. How do we help you solve your problem? Because that's what you're presented constantly. So project management, contract negotiation, contract establishments, all of that is a problem-solving skill. And you can transfer project management into any area of your life, professionally or personally.
That is so true. Now, were you on the sales side of it, or were you responsible for actually keeping the network alive? Because the companies I worked for, there was no down. I mean, there was no downtime. You didn't. The network did not go down, or you went down with it. So
you got that
so
right. No, I was on service delivery and operations. Absolutely. So there was a point in my career where I carried a pager. You know, during those on the days when you know those years, we had pagers and we would be on call 24/7 because it was a 24-hour network operation. So you would be on call, and you would be responsible for network operation 24/7. And then we transition to actual implementation, where we do the fiber, installing the fiber all the way to making the lines hot and having the fiber to the desktop, having that live and
wow.
operational, so that when the client came to their desk the next morning, it was as if nothing ever happened.
Okay. We're going to have to take that conversation offline, because I've got so much talk for you where that's concerned. But the topic tonight, we want to make sure we give our listeners everything that they love to hear, And we want to kind of hit the topic tonight, which is finances, and we're talking about it from an emotional perspective. And I know you've worked with, you know, outside of corporate America, once you left and stepped away from corporate America, I know you've worked extensively with organizations to help them improve their bottom line. And one of the things that I do as a life coach, and I'm sure you do too, is to help individuals improve all the areas of their life. And as we know, Tawana, and you know, Tony, you know as well, that every area of your life must be balanced. And if any one area is out of balance, then you're going to be in trouble. So this is one of the big areas that I hear about a lot. My clients come to me, and they're so unhappy or depressed because either one, they want a relationship and don't have one, or two, their finances are totally out of control, or three, they want to lose weight. Those are my three biggest areas, Tawana, that people just absolutely cannot seem to get a handle on. And so financial fitness, we're kind of trying to come at it from an emotional perspective, because what people need to understand is it's all about the mindset behind what do you believe about your finances? What are you saying? What is your self-talk? What do you say when you get up in the morning? What is going on in your head all day long about your finances? And if you stop and think about it, most people are probably thinking, oh, my God, how am I going to get this bill paid this month? Oh, I don't make enough money, and those types of things. So talk a little bit about your experience with your clients where that's concerned.
You know, when it comes to money, like you said, there are some very typical conversations that you have with clients at any level or any walk of life, and that is, again, relationships, money, and or health and losing weight, health, you know, and healthy, being healthy and fit. So those are the three common areas, just as much as, you know, in relationships, common areas are sex and communications and money. So money keeps repeating itself, you know. So the one thing that I often find with my clients is that, you know, we get to the root of it. First of all, if they come from a area where they have out-of-control spending, you know, sometimes we get to the cost. It's like, okay, so why are you in this situation? Are you looking at changing your spending habits? Are we looking at, you know, the fact that you've changed your spending habits, but now you're looking at trying to reduce the debt because of years of a lifetime of spending and you've now changed habits? Or are we looking at maintaining for retirement, you know, things that you need to do to prepare yourself for your future? So the cause of why we're together, you know, the question, big question is, what results do you want? So most often with where I am these days, you know, in this economic crisis that we're in right now, this recession has caused a lot of people to tighten their wallet, of course, but also it has given people a lot of boldness. It's given people the boldness to say, you know what, I want to do something different. So I'm willing to make financial sacrifices so that I can get more training and education, so that when I jump back into the workforce or I can better prepare myself for my next business opportunity. Or they're starting new businesses and they're taking financial risks to jump out so they can do things with their money so they can have that, you know, follow that dream, that long-term dream for work and career that they never took advantage of when they were younger.
Right. You mentioned out-of-control spending. That's so very true. I have a lot of clients, and not just clients, but just people in general who ask me the question about money. Now, I'm not a financial planner. That's not my background, corporate America. I was strictly technology. My degree is in technology. I'm a technology person. So when they come to me about finances, the only thing I can help them with is goal setting. Because I am certified as a life coach, so I can help them with goal setting. But I cannot tell you what to do to prepare for retirement. Now, with that said, there are a lot of people out there, Tawana, who don't have anything prepared for retirement. I mean, they've been working 15, 20, 25 years, and they don't have any savings whatsoever. What would you recommend for those people to do? And I know you're not a financial planner either, and I understand that, but just from your perspective as a life coach, what would you recommend that they do? I mean, is it too late for those people, or can they do something to at least start to get themselves prepared?
Right. It's never too late. And, you know, obviously the difference between being able to have, a couple $100,000, you know, that you can live off of in retirement versus, millions of dollars, you know, that there are differences in how much money you can acquire if you're just getting started. However, it is highly recommended that you research the best companies, financial planning companies out there that specialize in aggressive savings plans and investments for people who have a certain timeline to retirement. So there are plans out there that are set up just for people who are in their second phase of life, and they're saying, okay, now I need to focus on retirement, and I just realized that, you know, this is something I've overlooked. I never took it seriously, and I've recently seen other close friends and family are going through this tragedy because we've seen the Madoff issue where people's retirements are being sucked up and now they're, you know, without. So there are all kinds of tragedies going on causing people to react. And it's some, you know, the goodness when you reframe, when you look at someone else's tragedy, look at it sometimes as an opportunity for yourself to get your stuff together. So the first step is find a financial institution and compare them, of course. Find a financial institution that has a plan in place to help you do an aggressive savings plan to help you reach your ultimate goal, a realistic goal, not just a goal that's going to, you know, cripple you financially as you prepare for your future. You want to make sure you're balanced. So you want to do something that's achievable. You know, when you talk about goal setting, that's the first thing you do is, like, you know, one, how much money do you want to save? And then you work back from that goal point. And in doing that, those financial planners and those advisors should be equipped to help you track how to make that goal happen.
Right, exactly. Now, I am going to go to the lines, Tawani. This is a live show, and occasionally we have lots of listeners who listen via their phone line, and occasionally they may have a question. So I'm just going to check with this individual. It looks like they have their indicator light on that they have a question. Area code 770, you're on the line. Do you have a question or a comment?
No, I just have a comment. Hi, this is Shawana Ruth Bridges, a.k.a. Attorney Mom from the blog.
Hello, how are you doing?
I know, I miss you.
I know. I'm glad to hear tonight.
Let me tell you, I am so glad you are having this conversation. I know it was God. I could not get you off my mind today. For some reason, I said, I got to call into Kathy's show. So I sent you a message on Facebook. What's the call-in number? But I found it. So, listen, I got kicked off the plantation last year. I'm a corporate attorney. And before all this happened, I knew I was out of whack. We talked about this, Kathy. I was totally out of whack. Every area of my life, there was no balance. And I remember I have the house, I have the children, I have the husband, and I had the career that I thought I wanted. And I was sitting on my deck, and it's beautiful. I love my house. I love where I am. And I said, I'm not happy. And I couldn't understand. I was trying to fit a square peg in a round hole. I don't know, whatever they say, right? I was trying to do that. I was trying to be something that I wasn't, and I was becoming angrier, and more depressed. And I prayed to God. I said, God, two things. Teach me how to love myself and give me my smile back.
Right.
And one day I worked at this job as a corporate attorney for 3 years. I'm talking about bust my tail, try to get these people to like me, bent over backwards. I mean, I was a good house Negro, okay? And I tried everything. And then a new regime came in, and, I mean, I have the tapes. I'm so tempted to put these recordings on YouTube so people can hear how they talk to a black corporate attorney. I was the only black, the only female, all white, rich, white men. And anyway, to make a long story short, one day I stood up in a meeting. I just said, basically, you know, I want you guys to respect me from this day forward and follow the contract rattling sheet process. Well, they didn't like it. And they wrote me up. And, you know, it just went crazy. It went haywire. Well, anyway, I ended up, I was sitting at my desk, and they said, send an email to your boss and tell him that you're going to apply for family leave. And I did, and he granted it. 2 days later, I was in the hospital with an enlarged heart. Blood pressure sky high. Had I not drove myself to the hospital, I would have died. My heart would have exploded. And so I've been on medical leave from work and everything, but the bottom line is I have to, this month, on the 24th, I turn 42. And I said, God, I have to live the life that you created me to live. I'm willing to give everything up. I know I have my law degree. I know I wanted to be a corporate attorney. I know this was my dream since I was in fifth grade. But I'm ready, God, to do your will. And once I got over the process, I just got over the anger of everything that happened to me. Mm-hmm. Now mm-hmm. I'm ready to settle down and begin to execute my plan. And that's why I'm glad you're having this show tonight, because it's very necessary. I'm not going to paint a pretty picture. Corporate America was not for me. I tried. It's just not for me. And I know that God wants me.
And, you know, that's a great testimony. I'm so glad you called in and said that, because that is very key
mm-hmm.
in creating your plan. You've got to realize that there is a higher power.
Yes.
And there is something greater than yourself. And you can't do it all by yourself, because if you try to do it all by yourself, it's just not going to work. And you do have to get rid of that anger. I mean, because there are a lot of people out there who don't have control of their finances, and they're angry about it. They're angry about lots of different things, and that anger and those emotions, then that's exactly why we're talking about coming at it from an emotional perspective,
mm-hmm.
because those
mm-hmm.
emotions will just destroy your finances and other areas of your life too. So I am so glad you called in. Thank you so much for that comment.
Thank you. So I'm listening. I'm going back and continuing.
Absolutely. And I'm going to mute you back, but I want you to keep listening.
Okay.
And, you know, Kathy, I wanted to add to that, too. I know one of the things that a lot of folks don't realize, and when she said, you know, and you just mentioned about the anger aspect of it, all those things that affect us that get in the way are blocks. They are those things that stand in the way, and until we're able to eliminate those things, allow them to either do something to release them, or do something to just not let them be what they were, disarm them, we cannot get past a lot of those things. So the anger thing she said she had to release was a great thing, because people have to realize in the midst of everything that you go through, and this, I always try to look at it this way, there's a lesson in it. There's something in it that is designed to make you stronger. The question is, what is it? And if you don't take a look at what it is, or if you take a look at the anger in this particular case, she would never have gotten the opportunity to see exactly what God had prepared for her. So it's good she let go of the anger. And what we have to do, and I work on this myself, and I deal with it myself a lot of times too. Sometimes when you have something in front of you and it is that blockage, you have to be able to release it and not allow it to be something that stands in the way. Because what you have, and since we are dealing from a spiritual standpoint in this conversation, what God has for you is for you, and we have free will, so we end up getting in our own way for what he's prepared for us. So if we allow ourselves to just be what he's prepared us to be, then we can get that. And it's going to take work. It's not this miraculous thing that happens, but the bottom line is it becomes a lot simpler when we're able to open our eyes past the pains that have caused us to feel the way we do.
And you know, Tony, that's a good comment, because that brings about the victim mentality. I mean, whenever you have the urge to ask the question, why me, why now, why does this happen, why anything, you need to turn that into a what. What am I supposed to learn? What should I be doing? It should be a what type of question, because that's where that victim mentality comes from, because it's always a woe is me, why me, it shouldn't happen to me, it doesn't happen to other people. So I agree with you on that. Tawana, go ahead.
Yeah, actually, you know, I was going to add to what both of you have just said. One thing that's most important that, you know, she had mentioned, and that is she said it was always her dream to be a corporate attorney since she was in the fifth grade. Now, the key ingredient to that whole recipe of details that she provided is that she said it was a dream. The transition between her dream giving and fulfilling her to where the dream no longer fulfilled her. That's what the problem is. It has the fact of the matter is that God equipped her and gave her something powerful as the ability to become a corporate attorney. Now, I've done all kinds of, you know, seen a lot of fields. I've participated in a lot of, you know, corporate sessions where every career path is designed for people who have the intellectual aptitude to handle it, from physicians all the way down to attorneys and people like you and I in information technology. The difference is that the blessing is that she was able to become a corporate attorney. The fact that at a certain stage of her life, she was confronted with something that she no longer liked. Something in her life changed. Her need changed. But her environment was not willing to adapt for her. And that's where a lot of us derail, because we're expecting our environment to change for us versus realizing we have changed and it's time for us to make a move versus requiring people to change because of us. So the transition that she was forced to make was still very powerful and bigger than herself, because the change from corporate to, you know, leaving the corporate attorney's position was the universe's way, or God's way, of saying to her, hey, this is what you've done for this season. Now it's time to do something else, because you are no longer connected to this dream. It's time for something else. And as you heard, she surrendered to the fact that she needed to do something different. She needed to do, and she said, follow God's will and what God has called her to do. Well, she's been called all along. It's just that it's time to transition into another area. And that area can still be within her passion. It's just that it's not in that space that she was before.
And that is so profound, what you just said. That is so very true, because we all know that change is inevitable. And what is really amazing to me, Tawana and Tony both, is that the one thing in life that you can count on, absolutely guaranteed, is change. And it's the main thing that people resist.
Right.
Isn't that amazing?
That's right.
We resist the one thing that we can sure enough know that is going to happen. Whenever something changes and we don't change with it, guess what that does to us? It stifles our growth, it knocks us into a toxic comfort zone, and probably pushes us down into a depressive hole.
That's right.
We've got to be flexible enough to change with whatever changes in our lives, because our lives are constantly changing. I mean, just like the weather, the seasons change, the weather changes. We deal with change every day, so why do we resist it in our lives?
All right. Change is constant. Change is a guarantee in everyone's life. And there's a coach that I know, she considers herself a change agent, because she understands that, you know, it doesn't matter where you're pre-positioned in life. You know, it's how you view your change that causes you to move forward or move backwards, or stay where you are, and as you mentioned before, become a victim. You know, in the world of leadership and professional development, there are phases in your transition of change. You can start at the area of being a victim, and then you move up and, you know, different levels where your energy that you put into how you perceive what you're going through, the amount of energy you put into it, or the lack of energy that you put into moving forward, will determine how fast you get through it. So when you're faced or confronted with change, you have to reframe what's actually happening to you so that you become active and versus inactive.
Yeah, I just want to make a comment. You mentioned something. I think you said something about your energy. And it just made me think of a conversation I had with my daughter, because, of course, she's my daughter, so she's a mini-me. Mm-hmm. And even though she's an adult, but she's still a mini-me, and she totally understands, you know, energy, toxic energy, and how you attract to yourself. And she was telling me, she said, you know, that is really true, because she's married. She said, I had a disagreement with my husband the other day, and it just seemed like as soon as that happened, it was just a progression of negative things that just kept coming and coming and coming, because I was in a terrible mindset. I was angry, and all the negative emotions you could come up with, I was having them, and things just kept happening and kept happening over and over and over until I decided, stop, let's wait. Okay, now, let me take a timeout break because I am attracting this stuff to myself. And as soon as she changed her mindset, got her thoughts right, affirmations and those things, she said it all went away. I said, I'm trying to tell you, it really is true. It really does work. You attract, your thoughts are very powerful. They're energetic. And you attract to you what you keep in your mind constantly all day long.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So if you're going to have that victim mentality, oh, it's not right, my life has changed, and I don't know what to do about it, or I have no control. I've heard so many people say that one. I can't. I have no control. I can't do anything about it. Oh, my God, you always have choices. You always, always have choices.
And Kathy, if I can also say, I think one of the biggest challenges is, and I like the term that you used, was change agent, because we're not raised that way in many instances, particularly from a cultural standpoint. We're so used to, okay, this is what you go to. You go to this one place, and in this place is where you become comfortable, and you work as hard as you can in that particular place. And if something happens, well, you try to work your way through it. Whereas in other cultures, in other places, they celebrate change. They celebrate things that are going on because they, as you said, they know it's inevitable. I think what we have to learn how to do as a person to a people is learn how to celebrate those situations. Since we're talking about the economics and the emotions that come along with it, so many people have been affected adversely with what's gone on with the finances of this country. Folks are losing their homes, and healthcare issues have gone on, and so many different things. But and that's a sad situation. But in the midst of all of it, if you say to yourself, this is just a moment in time, and I've dealt with worse than this, and I can make it, and it's not the end, and I can move past this because it's about to change. I have to, the circumstances change. I've got to change my circumstance and change my thinking of that circumstance. And I think that's what we need to do so often. And we've just got to, especially those of us that have children or grandchildren or just ourselves, I think that's one of the hardest things to do. People don't like change. And if we can just learn how to say, okay, it's going to happen now, this is what I need to do. And I know, Kathy, in our conversations and throughout, we've had many conversations about the planning of it. And that's what really change is. I mean, change happens whether you like it or not. So what do you do? And how do you handle it? And so you plan to work yourself through those changes.
Yeah, you said something, Tony, that resonated with me. You mentioned, and that was very, very good what you just said, but you mentioned it's not how we were raised. And that's one of the things, that's one of the first things that I try to take my clients through is a thorough assessment of the beliefs that you currently have that aren't yours. They was given to you. They were spoon-fed to you because that's what happens. And until we can fully assess where our beliefs came from, and how toxic they are so that we can get rid of them and create new beliefs, because you can do that. You do have a choice to do that. We will stay stuck. And you're absolutely right, Tony. In the African-American communities, in the majority of cases, we adopted the beliefs of our parents and our grandparents. And how many times did you hear, money doesn't grow on trees? How many times did you hear that? If I could count the number of times I heard that as a child from both my parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles, money doesn't grow on trees. Okay, so what kind of belief would that create for me? Money is scarce. Money is hard to come by. Oh, my goodness. And so if you have that belief, it's your job as an adult to assess those beliefs, and you can change those beliefs. You can create new, healthy beliefs. And, again, you talked about the economy. There's another toxic influence on our beliefs, the media. Now, this particular show is, you know, it's good media, but there's a lot of media sources out there that they thrive on negative news. They sensationalize it because that's what they have to do. it's your job to filter that stuff out. You can't take all of that in and allow it to become your new belief. Oh, my God, the economy is just so bad, it's never going to recover. I am just stuck in this. You can't do that. Can't do that.
No, I agree with you. One of the things that you had said, you know, when you get back to the beliefs and values, what are your beliefs and values? When you were growing, you know, when all of us were coming up, some of the things that we were challenged by are, you know, statements like money's not everything. You know, I don't need to be rich. Rich people, you know, are miserable too. You know, money doesn't grow on trees. There are so many statements that we wrapped our families around that gave us the excuse that average or below average was good enough.
Right.
It kept us to a place where if I never achieved more than where my mom and dad were, then that was perfectly acceptable. Now, many of us who were raised, now I come from a sharecropper family. We didn't have money. My grandparents, you know, they stuck, my grandfather, he had a third grade education. He had to take over the farm because his parents were ill. So my grandfather had a third grade education. The beautiful thing is that my grandmother, who was educated as far as, you know, they, you know, in those years in the South, they didn't have 12 grades, but she finished school for her time of her generation. Mm-hmm. Now she was educated; she could read, so she was able to help my grandfather understand more about farming and how to maximize on the farm and the growth of the farm. So she helped elevate his position and helped elevate him to the next level. And then of course each generation did better, and in the course and so on. And that's where we have to transition to, because our belief systems and what we place our value structures will either help or hinder our next level. So let's just say we decided that I said that money doesn't grow on trees, and whenever my daughter came to me and said, hey, Mom, can I purchase this or that, and I kept saying money doesn't grow on trees versus saying, well, how have you earned the money so that you can afford it?
Right.
You know, two different ways of stating you need it and you can get it, but how are you going to acquire it? How do you plan to get that, what you want? You know, so again, going back to setting the stage for goal setting, setting the stage for maximizing on opportunities and making decisions and getting you from moving from the victim place to a place where it's a win-win, where you are no longer saying, I don't, because it's not given to me, or because it's not obvious to me, or because I'm not smart enough or I'm not good enough, I can't, therefore I won't. Now the transition has to be, you know, where I am today is not where I need to be in order for me to acquire what I really want. What do I need to do now? What opportunities are around me? What strengths do I have? What resources are available to me today that will help me achieve that goal? The problem is that in our community, you know, in the African American and Latina community, there is a huge issue of not being able to be read in to increase your knowledge, to take advantage of programs that are free, opportunities that are readily available, and tools that are so easy to get your hands on so that you can get and gain just like the majority. Mm-hmm. The fact that you don't take the time to research or to take the time to ask questions because you think that what you're going to ask at this stage of your life is probably stupid or a bad question, or maybe it's too late, or you should know but you never did and you don't want to admit the fact that you don't know it. You know, there's so many things that we believe and perceive that hinder our ability versus helping us move forward. And when it comes to finances, we're extremely private and extremely hesitant to talk about the things that we need to do, because money in our communities, money is such a particular subject. It's a sore subject most, because a lot of us perpetrate what we don't have or what we do have. And in doing that, if you present yourself as if you don't know, then you would have to tell the truth about what you do or don't have. So you have to be honest, and when it comes down to your financial position, you have to be honest, because in order for you to get ultimately what you desire, when it comes to finances, you have to take the emotions out of it, the all the things that say, you know, I really don't, I'm afraid, you know, to look like I'm chasing money or look like I'm chasing a dollar. I'm afraid that the perception that people are going to have is that I'm money hungry or that I value money over my family or that I'm sitting here putting money first in my life. That's not true at all. In order for you, and this is how you reframe when you are looking at ways to move forward financially, when you realize that your loved ones are not going to be able to move any further than you progress in your life, then you will change the way you view how you acquire wealth. Because as I was growing up, I knew that all the other family members in my family were not able and not equipped with the tools and gifts that God had given me, that I knew that I had to be the one to go after all the things that I need to do in order for my family to achieve. So I had to be the trailblazer, per se. So if I don't go and if I don't take the chances and take the risk and put myself up front and be honest and open and deal with the family curses and all of the other things that came with me, if I'm not up front and honest about that, everybody behind me will never be able to move forward, because once I am enabled, they will be enabled. So it's not about being hungry, money hungry, greedy, putting money first or all those. It's not about that. It's about legacy and giving my family what God has equipped me to do and being able to pass it down.
Tawana, that's so powerful. That's so powerful. I've been sitting here jotting down some of the things that you're saying, because I just want to comment on so much that you just said, but one of the things you just said about take the emotions out of it, that is so very true. That is so very important. And if you can remove those emotions, because it is just, it's so many toxic emotions that we experience, and we're just not aware. We're not aware that we're angry and we're bitter and we're resentful, and we just don't even think about it. Why me? And that victim mentality, we don't even think about it. It's just automatic. And if we could just somehow come up with some type of simple gap analysis, and I know you're familiar with that because we did it in our information technology days, come up with some type of gap analysis where you are versus where you want to be. And whatever that gap is, just come up with some simple tasks. Don't make it too difficult. If you make it too difficult, you're not going to do it. You're not going to achieve it.
Right.
And just start slowly. If you could just start slowly, and some people say, when we talk about the financial part of it, I've always been taught, not from a child, because, you know, like you said, Tony, my beliefs from childhood were just like everybody else's, because, you know, my parents, my father worked very hard. And so as I became an adult, I've always been taught to pay yourself first. And when I talk to my clients about that, well, I can't afford to pay, I can't afford to save a dollar. That is so not true. You can't afford to save a dollar. Like you said, I would bet you anybody that you find who says they can afford to save a dollar, I'll bet you they're probably spending something that they could stop spending money on that particular item or service.
That's right. And
even if it's just going
sacrifice
to Starbucks, getting coffee, even if it's something that simple.
Yeah, because a lot of times we have habits that we don't want to sacrifice so
we
that
don't
we
pay attention
can
to
acquire. Right, right.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And if you stop, and that's why I said do some type of gap analysis. I mean, it doesn't have to be anything major or huge, humongous, just something. Stop and look at where you are, what you're doing, versus where you want to be. And if you could just do that one thing, it will show you several things that you're currently doing that you could either change around or stop altogether. And you could come up with $2 a month that you could save and put into a savings account, and that adds up. Trust me, it does add up.
That's right.
And
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to add real quick. I know one thing that we don't do enough of, and we need to do, is to assess any situation. You need to basically do an analysis of that situation. So in this particular case, since we're talking about the financial aspect of it, you've got to take a look at your spending. And if you don't take a look at your spending, you don't know where those things are. It's ironic. I did a workshop this past weekend about this topic, and we were talking about that. Be honest with yourself. the Starbucks coffee, the stop at the fast food restaurant, the this and that, all those little bitty things, write it down, calculate it, figure it out. Every day, do it for at least a month. Then track and see, and you'll find out on that list the things that you absolutely don't need that you spend on every day that you could be putting into a savings account.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree, Tony, because, you know, there are times when we can take the bus and we, you know, and out of a matter of convenience and comfort, we take a car. When you need to save gas money, when you know that Metro runs right to the front door of your office and you could easily get up 10, 15 minutes early, jump on Metro, save yourself a lot of energy on as far as fuel is concerned, that gas money, and you can jump the train and then get back and forth home just as quickly as you could if you jumped in your own car. But the difference is the way you value your personal comfort and how you present what makes you happy, you know, and so you decide, because happiness is a choice, you decide that if you can sleep for 15 extra minutes and you get in your own personal car and you do what you want to do during that commute, that brings you personal fulfillment. So you choose to do that versus saving money and just jumping in on the train. So the question, when you were talking about the gap analysis, let's just use this as a visual, as an example. Okay, so Tony and Kathy, you guys are on an island, a beautiful island that is just, you know, let's say a mile offshore from where I am. I'm on the mainland, and you guys are a mile offshore, and you guys have this beautiful home. You have a big party going on, and there's so much happening over there where you guys are, and I want to be there. I want to be a part of what's going on, and there's so many people who I love and know and respect who are on the island with you guys. So Tony and Kathy, you guys are having the time of your life, and you keep yelling across, Tawana, get over here, girl. There's so much you are missing, and I'm excited because I really want to be there. Now, I'm on the mainland, and I have available to me all types of resources that could potentially get me to that island. The difference between me and the people who've already left the island is that I'm looking at it, and I haven't asked myself the key question when it comes to the gap analysis, that what's going to get me to the island with Tony and Kathy. The key question that you have to ask yourself is, what is preventing me from getting to that island? What is preventing me from getting to the island? Now, once you ask that question, a whole number of things will start rolling in your head. First, some of the first things will be, I don't know, I don't have a boat. Second thing is that, I'm not sure that I have the money. I don't want to leave certain people behind. There's all kinds of the what is preventing you from leaving the mainland and joining Tony and Kathy on the island, of all kinds of opportunity and fun. So in order for you to understand how far and what you have to do to get where you want to be, you have to ask that question, and the what is preventing you, knowing that you're on the mainland, that means everything from, you know, resources like wood, if you need to build a raft, you know, you can go and ask somebody, hey, can I borrow your boat? If you can just drop me off, I'll borrow money from my friend when I get to the island to pay you back for the fuel. I mean, there's all types of things and all types of ways that you can get there. But something is preventing you from taking that move. And whatever that what is, that needs to be discovered and that needs to be dealt with. Because that fear, or the challenge of I'm not good enough, or I'm not ready, or something is happening within yourself that's preventing you from taking that move to get to that island. Everybody else is going just fine, but for some reason you feel anchored to the mainland, but everybody else is going. So the what is preventing you from achieving that goal is a key question, and that's the gap analysis question.
Yeah, Tawana, you kind of threw me off kilter a little bit because I'm visualizing myself on that Paradise Island with Tony. So let me get myself back on it. Let me get myself off the Paradise Island. You know, created a nice little visual there. So.
Well, you guys are having fun. That's where the money is. Everybody's having a good time, and I want to be there because you guys make it so great, and you keep calling me, and I'm still asking myself, what's keeping you from going, Tawana? Why aren't you making that move? And that's
very powerful, Tawana, what you said, because just to show you the power of visualization,
mm-hmm.
I actually went to that island just now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I went there. And you can do that. And when people can learn how to visualize to the point just like you described, I mean, you did such a great job describing that. You took me there.
Mm-hmm.
That if you can do that, then you can create that gap analysis. You can make any change in your life you want. You can get rid of that fear. Oh, fear is so crippling.
Yes,
you can
is.
Get rid of that fear. As long as you can visualize that outcome, if
mm-hmm.
you can visualize yourself on Paradise Island with Tony, then you
mm-hmm.
can do whatever it is you're trying to accomplish in your life.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, because, you know deep down what's really keeping you, and you have to be honest with yourself and accept the truth. We all have, things that are, you know, holding us back. Accept the truth of what is it that's holding you back. There are so many who sit back and say, hey, I would love to go on television, but I believe I'm overweight. Well, I can give you all kinds of successful women who are on television who are overweight.
I know, exactly.
Let's start with Oprah.
Exactly.
She makes no excuse for the fact that she's overweight. America has learned to accept her for who she is. And,
well, you know why?
Because
you know
she's
why?
Comfortable.
Because she accepts it right. Hello, exactly. She accepts
because
herself.
She, mm-hmm, she made a decision that it was okay. Now, she went through her changes, but every day she still had to come on television every day, no matter what. She had a commitment to be there every day, so she had no choice but to show America her transition from, thin to, naturally heavy to whatever. Her whole life, we've watched it. And we've seen her struggle until the last 5 or 6 years. And we've seen her just say, you know what, I'm done with all of this. I have to be comfortable with who I am. And she's done phases of it, but this time she's really saying, okay, I'm good with this. You know,
right.
And for a lot of us, it could be just that. And when it comes to money, when you look at your finances and you go comb through, and Tony was saying, hey, look at your list of things that you spend on that you spend your free money on or your excess cash. And let's say Starbucks is one of those items that you said is a treat for yourself, and you're like, that's my excess cash, and I buy, that $20 cup of coffee, and I know it's not $20, but it's just, exaggerated because Starbucks is a very expensive coffee that does not taste that good. Now, people can say Starbucks is the best coffee in the world, and we all know it's not. Statistics have shown Starbucks is not the best coffee, but the atmosphere and the fad around the experience of Starbucks is what we pay for. So we know that we are treating ourselves with Starbucks. So if we look at like Starbucks and chocolate or vacationing, whatever it is that we have on our list that we have to have that makes our life better, makes us feel good, it's not that you have to take a difference between Starbucks and instant coffee. You don't have to do those that much of an extreme. You can go from Starbucks to Dunkin' Donuts coffee or 7-Eleven coffee. Or McDonald's gourmet coffee. You follow me? There are steps to reducing from the number one down to maybe the number three on the market.
Right.
So you don't
And I was just going to say, I hate to interrupt you. I mean, you're doing such a fantastic job, but I want to make sure that I get your contact information in my chat room and to my listeners. So what is your website, Tawana? If someone wants to sign up for your newsletter or visit your site, what's your website?
TawanaFreeman.com.
Okay, that's two N's, Freeman, two E's, M-A-N.com.
Mm-hmm. TawanaFreeman.com.
Excellent. And I cannot believe we're coming up on our last 60 seconds. I knew this was going to be a quick hour, but we are. And, Tawana, I really want to thank you ever so kindly for coming on my show this evening. I want to get in touch with you because there's a lot I'd like to talk to you about, and we're not going to be able to do it on the air. So thank you so much for all of your outstanding information. We are going to have to sign off for now, and we will see you guys next week. I am Kathy Holloway-Hill.
I'm Tony Lamont.
And we will see you next week on Living by Design. Good night, everyone.